Appreciate you being here today, and I know the Lord will bless you for being here. Obviously not because of me, but because of His Word and because of Him. And of course, we can learn something today, and a lot of times you come to church and you're needing something. You're asking the Lord to answer maybe a prayer that you've been praying or a need that you've come across or a situation that you're going through, and you need God to help you in that. And that's what we're going to preach about today. We could title it two different things. We could title it God's Ability to Meet All the Needs of Life, if you wanted to sound educated. I'll read that again. God's Ability to Meet All the Needs of Life. In other words, God can do it all. He can take care of everything. In my terminology, if you just want to throw it down there where the rubber meets the road, the Great Need Meter. The Great Need Meter. If you have a need today, God can meet it because He's the Great Need Meter. And we're going to look at a couple places today. There's several places in the Bible where it kind of gives God that context, or it gives God that title. But we're going to look at a couple of passages of Scripture today that don't say that, but we can see it in it. And we can see that these two portions of Scripture, some people had some needs, and they needed it met. And of course, Jesus being there met the need. And of course, this is one of the places, and we'll see it in the outline of the day. This is one of the needs, one of the places to get your needs met. If you have needs and you want it met, this is the place to come find it. The devil will tell you if you're going through a hard time, if you're going through a situation, you know, quit going to church, stop reading your Bible, don't pray. That's what he wants, because that definitely will aid and abet to the need getting worse. But if we go to church and we read our Bible and we pray to the God that can meet the needs, that's the way to get it met. And so, of course, being here today, right now, and I've heard preachers say this, you either need this sermon right now, or you've needed it in the past, or you're going to need it. So that's one of these sermons. So even if right now you think, well, everything's going pretty smooth right now, I don't even know of a need I have. Listen, because it's coming, amen, and so forth. And that's just the way life is, but God is the great need meter. He can meet any need. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll read the Scripture. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be in church. Thank you for our church. We just ask you to bless each member. And Lord, help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, if we do go through something, not to try to handle it on our own, not to try to just maybe suck it up and go through. Well, Lord, I ask you to fix it or meet it or help us to go through it in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, you know, in this thought process, Paul went to the Lord three times. And so, Lord, I got this need, and I need you to take it away. I need you to fix it. I need you to, just make it like it's not even there. And God has that ability. And what we're going to read here in just a second, this man had this need, and God just fixed it. Like it was not even there ever before. But Paul was told, no, I'm not going to take it away, but I will give you the grace to go through it. And so either way, the need was met. It wasn't taken away. It's kind of like, you know, raising kids. If you have a kid and they fall, and you want to put them in a bubble. And you want to put, you're not allowed to come out of your room. I'll just shoot the food under your door. That's not life. They're going to get bumps and bruises. They're going to get, friends and not friends and things like that. That's just life. But the way to go through that is to go through that and learn from it and things like that. So God can meet the need by fixing it, by taking it away, or giving you the strength and the ability to go through it and do it the right way. And so let's look at Luke chapter 6, and we'll start reading in verse 6, and we'll read from 6 to 18. And then, of course, we'll go back and bring out some thoughts in it. But it says here in verse 6, and it came to pass. So that time that you're going to need it, it's coming. Also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him, or accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the men which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth, and he said, Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it? Verse 10, and looking around about upon them all, He said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole, and as the other. And they were filled with madness. doesn't kind of make sense, does it? And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went out unto the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto his disciples and to those that chose, and I'm sorry, to of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, who he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John and Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, called the Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and the great multitude of the people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. In verse 18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And so a big story here. And we're going to take the story at the church, and we're going to see the response of the people in the community, and then we'll see what Jesus did here. So, but in this passage, we see different people described. First of all, we see the Savior. And of course, if you need a need met, the Savior is the one. Not the pastor, not the Sunday school teacher, not the deacons, not the faithful church members. We can't meet needs. We can pray for you. We can encourage. We can have your back, all that kind of stuff. But Jesus is the great need meter. And so it wasn't the disciples that healed the guy. It was Jesus that did it. Now, they were excited. The disciples were. The other people weren't. They got mad, the Bible says. And so we see the Savior. Then, secondly, we see the scoffer or the scorner. There's always going to be the scoffer and the scorner, even in church. For instance, you know, again, we could all be excited about the parking lot. And we're like, man, it's great. God's blessed us. We got more spots to park in, and God's given us visitors. The church is growing, things like that. Well, I've seen better parking lots in my day. Them straps are probably crooked. And those bumpers, they're not going to stop my car from going in the ditch. I'll just go right off in the ditch. Like, come on! Be excited! It's awesome! I went in my office, looked out the window, and saw cars out there. And I'm like, oh, man, that's great! But there, chances are there might have been somebody pulling in. Man, stupid errors. I wanted to go in the other driveway. Making me come down here all the way down the road and come in this side where the error was. Man! That's exactly what the devil wants to happen. Because that's division. You know, because you got people going, woo! It's awesome! It's great! Meh, whatever. Same thing here. Hey, you want your hand healed? Yes, sir, I'd like. Well, reach it forth. Okay. He healed it. That guy was probably pumped up. Woo! Yes! Mm-hmm. Jesus. Healing on the Sabbath day again. We knew it. So you have the Savior, and then you have scorners and scoffers, but then also you have the suffering. That's why he was there. He's like, my right hand is going to fall off, and this disease might kill me. But if I could just get to Jesus, he can take care of it. He'll fix it. He'll give me what I need. And so we see, in this story, we see the Savior, and we see the scorners, and we see the suffering. So, let's read a couple statements. Just because a person is in church doesn't mean he's in Christ. They were there. Those guys weren't saved. They were there. Well, I go to church all the time. I hear it a lot. You got a church you go to? Oh yeah, we go all the time. Well, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Well, that's just personal. Okay. You know, if you went to church, I would have thought you'd been happy about going to heaven. You know, but don't ask me that personal question. So just because a person's in church doesn't mean they're in Christ. Just because you belong to church doesn't mean you belong to the kingdom of God. Just because you sing a hymn doesn't mean there's a song in your heart. The Bible tells us to have a song in our heart. We're supposed to sing spiritual songs and hymns. And again, we ought to be happy. And if you're happy, you know, again, I love singing the hymns. Brother Derek asked us to sing a cappella this morning. And again, with my allergies going on, that's scary. I need the piano to cover up that that's going on. But anyway, if you're right with God, there's a song in your heart. But we see that these people, they weren't singing hymns. They weren't there to sing. They weren't there to get their needs met. They were there to fault find, judge, even though they were at church. So it has been said that many people, or many church people, are like the sick people that are laying beside the pool of Bethesda, waiting on the waters to be troubled. They're there, but they don't get in the pool. And so again, if you have a need, obviously coming to church is the best place you can be to get that need met. But don't just lay there. Don't fault find. Don't listen to the devil. We can be in the service, but not in the service. In other words, right now, I think I got everybody's attention. Everybody's looking at me and things like that. But in a minute, you know, I could see some of this going on. In other words, you're here, but you're not here. All right? You're in the bed sleeping. Or you'll be like, oh, I'm hungry. I need to go eat. So you're at the restaurant or you're at that, you know, today we're having some backstrap in the crock pot. I may be somewhere else in just a minute. But anyway, you know, you're here, but you're not here. And as we see that, it's going on here. Some of these guys are there. Jesus is there. The hurting's there. The scoffers are there. But there's some people that are there, but they weren't really there. So, in this passage, we see scorners in the service. We see people mad in the service. We see people to the point they want to kill Jesus. They get mad. They get upset. And so this is exactly what the devil wants. If a person comes and they're like, I just don't feel like I'm going to heaven. I don't feel like God's happy with me, so I need to go to church. And so then they hear that, hey, you can go to heaven if you'll just accept Christ as your personal Savior. But the devil will get you mad about that. They're just trying to point out that. They're trying to make me feel awkward. They're trying to embarrass me. No, that's lies from the devil. Again, we're just going to rejoice if somebody gets saved. Some of you have been saved here. The church rejoiced. That's a lie from the devil. So same thing here. In this service, we have all kinds of things going on. You would have thought that with something so wonderful happening, that everybody would have praised God, but instead, there was some in there plotting to kill Jesus. And so I've seen it. You know, the pastor studies and prays and asks God to give him a sermon. And, you know, he comes in and preaches it with all his heart. And he's trying to show compassion. He's trying to show concern, things like that. And they're like, that preacher, he's just pointing me out. He knows he's trying to ridicule me. That goes on in churches everywhere. Don't let that happen. So first of all, we're going to see the Savior in these verses. Let's look at verse 6. If you're going to have a need met, you're going to have the Savior's presence. You're going to have the Savior's presence. Look in verse 6. And it came to pass, all right, this situation had come. Life has just been going on. It came to pass also on another Sabbath that He, Jesus, entered into the synagogue. And so if Jesus was here on earth today, He would be in some church. And so we got to learn that principle. We need God's presence. The crippled man in the Bible needed Jesus' presence. The blind man needed Jesus' presence. Now, there were some times in the Bible that Jesus' presence weren't there, but He still healed the person. You know, the guy said, hey, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house, but I'm kind of like a captain or a boss. I tell this person to go do that, and they do it. And I tell this person to go do that, and they do it. If you'll just say, your son be healed, you can do it. So Jesus obviously was there, but He wasn't there in His presence. But we need God's presence to have a need met. The crippled man needed it. So faith cometh, sometimes faith is not so much taught rather than caught. Again, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We can come to church and listen to the Word of God preached, and it may not even be on a need that we need met, but we get strength from hearing the Word of God. And we get faith to say, hey, I'm just going to go another day. I'm going to go and I'm going to try. I'm not going to quit on God. I'm going to go. Why? Because we got that faith. We got it because we heard the Word of God. You can be in His presence in church. You can be in His presence in your prayer closet. The Bible says enter into your prayer closet where God will bless you openly, outwardly, because of what you've done secretly. The Bible says His presence is in the prayer closet. It also says when you read His Word, that Word is alive. And it will speak to you. If you're saved, it will speak to you. So you can have His presence in church. You can have His presence in the prayer closet. You can have His presence in the Bible reading. And here's another one. You can have His presence in the fellowship of other believers. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, I am in the midst. I believe we've got two and three surpassed this morning. Good crowd. So the Bible promises He's here. And we can't see Him. But the Bible says that He is in the midst. And so if you need a need met, His presence is here. Secondly, not only do we need His presence, we need His perception. Look at verse 8. We need His perception. Verse 8 says this, "But He knew their thoughts." Okay, He knew the thought of the guy with the withered hand. He's here because He wants His hand healed. He knew the thoughts of those scoffers and those scorners. If He heals on the Sabbath day, we'll have a reason to accuse Him and we can murder Him. He knew their thoughts. And so He also knew the other people's thoughts that may not have even had a clue about either one of those things. They didn't know about the withered man's hand or the withered hand of that man. They didn't know about the scoffers that were there. They were just there. But He knew their thoughts. So not only do we need His presence, we need His perception. He knew the thoughts of the scorners. He knew the thoughts of the sufferers. He knows our thoughts today. If you're having a thought on that need that you need met, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can. He knows that. His perception. Nothing sneaks up on Him. We saw that in Sunday school this morning. He was the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between. Nothing sneaks up on God. His perception. He knows. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the Bible says. So not only do we need His presence and His perception, let's look at verse 10 and see the prescription. The prescription. A lot of times we don't like that. My wife, she doesn't like to swallow pills. She needs, I think it's vitamin D. So you know what she's got? Some gummies. All right. All the little kids just looked up. Gummies. Wow. She has gummies for her vitamin that she needs. And so she just chews it up. So whether she swallows it or chews it up, she's getting the vitamin D that she needs. But, you know, the prescription sometimes, the doctor says, here, take this pill. And it's, you know, the big old horse pill. And she's like, I can't swallow that. All right, well, here, chew it up. But sometimes, you know, we get that prescription, take, you know, two of these and call me in the morning type stuff. And it tastes nasty or it's too big. We have to cut it in half, things like that. But if we want it to help, it's like Alka-Seltzer. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. But it tastes horrible. It's nasty. All that sulfur coming up, you know, the bubbles in your nose. If I ever have to drink one, I hold my nose and I drink it. Why? Because I don't want to smell it. Because it's horrible. But if that's what's going to help my stomach, I'm going to take it. So sometimes the prescription, if it was any other thing, I would let You fix it. But we see here, He gave the guy the prescription. In verse 10, it says here, and looking around about them all, He said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And it says here, and he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. So he did exactly. Vitamin D, right? Is that your gummies? All right, good deal. All right. He said, you know, stretch forth your hand. And the guy could have said, I don't want anybody to see it. It looks nasty. I mean, just chunks of stuff falling off of it. It's gross. Stretch forth your hand. Can we go outside? Can we go over here where nobody can see? No, Jesus said, hey, stretch forth your hand. And you know what the guy did? Okay, Lord. He didn't care about what anybody thought. He didn't care what, you know, anybody could have, you know, would have said. He said, you know, God said, stretch it forth. I'm stretching forth here. Fix it. And so, again, if we need our need met, we need God's presence. We need His perception. And again, we'll have it if we're in the right place. And if we'll listen, He'll give us the prescription to do. So we got to do it. So He did it. So a lot of times people have a need and they read the Bible and the Bible says, thou shalt, or, you know, do this. Well, I don't agree with that, so I'm not going to do it. So they didn't take the prescription. Or sometimes, you know, say, I need some counsel, and they come and say, pastor, can you share some scripture, or can you pray with me about this? Well, this is what the Bible says, and I'm going to pray that you have strength to be able to do this so God can meet that need. Nah, I ain't doing that. That sounds too hard. That sounds too difficult. In other words, you're not taking the prescription. And if you have a spiritual advisor that you have, maybe somebody, a grandfather or somebody that you've known a long time, and they've been faithful to the Lord. In other words, they would say exactly what the Bible said. They would say exactly what the pastor would say. And they said it, and you're saying, I just want a different outcome. It's kind of like the people in the Bible that got snake bitten because they were griping and complaining. And God says, they're going to die. And Moses is like, well, what can we do? He said, well, I'll tell you what. You make a brass serpent, you put it on the pole. The ones that look, they'll live. The ones that don't, they'll die. And so Moses goes and makes it and comes and tells the people, says, hey, here's the prescription. This is what you got to do. Look at the brass serpent and you'll live. If you don't, you're going to die. Again, you had some. They weren't great Christians. They weren't super Christians and all spiritual. They just like, let's just try it. Let's see. If God said that, I might try it. Let's look. And they looked and they lived. Some were, you know, strong Christians. You know, bless God, if that's what the Bible said, if that's what God said, if that's what Moses said, I'm doing it. I got faith in that. They looked and lived. And then some's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. How in the world can a brass serpent heal me? I'm not looking. That's just ridiculous. And they died. They didn't follow the prescription. We talked on this not too long ago. Haman was told to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. That's the muddiest, yuckiest river. The rivers over wherever I live are clean. It would be better for me to go over there. I'm not doing that. And you know the little child out of the mouths of babes. And then his servant said, you know, son, sir, if he'd told you to do something hard, would you have done it? Well, yeah. Well, how easy is that? So we see there's certain things, same thing. You're a sinner. You deserve to die and go to hell for your sins. But if you'll just put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross and that blood we sang about will be applied to you, you'll be as white as snow like you've never sinned and you'll go to heaven. That sounds too easy. I don't know about that. That's the prescription. So if you want something met, same thing whether it be salvation or whether it be our health, anything. So not only do we see the Savior in these passages, we see the scorners. Let's look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. It says here, and the scribes and the Pharisees, the better than thou. We've got it all figured out. We're smarter than God. We've been here forever. We're this, we're that. This is what these people, they watched. In other words, they were at church, but they weren't there to listen to the Holy Spirit. They weren't there to learn from the Word of God. They weren't there to listen to God speak. They were there to judge and to point out fault and to think they were better than themselves. They watched. They watched Him. So we see here in verse 8, they watched. They didn't watch to follow the example. They didn't watch to jump in at the opportunity to serve the Lord. No, they watched so they could point out, criticize. Again, with this many sinners in the same place at one time, there's going to be fault. You won't have to look very far. Okay, but we ought to just look in the mirror. Because the fault we need to worry about is ours, not anybody else's. Those of you that have multiple siblings, how many times have you told this? Don't worry about your sister. You take care of yourself, bud. Why? Because you got enough issues. And so exactly what we see here. But they were watching on their pharisaical thrones, had their nose stuck up in the air. I'm better than anybody else. Again, don't go to church to be a watcher and a fault finder and a nose poker and a criticizer. No, go there to listen to the Holy Spirit. The second part of that, not only were they watching, they were waiting for an opportunity. Verse 7 says here, and they watched Him, and here's the opportunity, whether He would heal on the Sabbath day or not, that they might find an accusation against Him. They were waiting. They were just waiting for their opportunity. And I've seen people in church like this. They were just waiting for the opportunity to give their resume. I'm super Christian, and I this, and I that, and I. Who's that sound like? The devil. I will be like the Most High. I will rise up. I will ascend to the throne. I will take over. Again, they were just waiting for their opportunity to say, me. I. Anyway, so we see that that's not why we're supposed to be in church, watching for our opportunity to put our 2 cents worth in. Waiting to give our resume and how awesome we are. That's what they were doing. No, but we ought to be there to serve God. And in verse 11 it says here they were wanting it to happen. You know, waiting for that last shoe to drop. Okay, if it can happen, it's going to happen to me. It's going to happen here. And in verse 11 it says here, that and they were filled with madness. again, how in the world? Let's say we had like 4 people get saved today and the altar was down here and people were having to come take the Bible and show them how to be saved and everybody's like, oh, man, roast is going to burn. Oh, I'm starving. My favorite show, I got it recorded. And people getting saved. I mean, woo! That's what I'm saying. You know, they were at church, but they were going to be mad about something. They were just waiting for something to get them mad about it. I knew it. You know, people aren't truthful as they say they are, and it should have been, you know, my kid that got to do that, or it should have been me that was asked to do that. And they're just always waiting for the opportunity just to gripe. We see that's what they were doing. Not only do we see the Savior and the scorners, number three, we see the suffering. The suffering. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. This man was frustrated in verse 6. It says here, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath day that he entered into the synagogue, Jesus, and he taught. And it says here, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. His right hand was withered. Again, and I know he was frustrated because I've been frustrated before. On this right hand of mine, this pinky right here has been broken twice. And both times that it was broken, it hindered me. I couldn't throw. I couldn't ride. I couldn't shoot. There was all kinds of stuff. And I was frustrated. I should put work in there, right? I couldn't work. Things like that. I was frustrated. So this guy, I'm sure he was frustrated that his hand was being withered. And it was falling off. And he was frustrated, verse 6. But he couldn't do anything about it. But then in verse 8, we see not only the man's frustration, but we see the man's faith. It says in verse 8, but he knew, talking about Jesus, their thoughts, and said unto the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose. So we see not only his frustration, we see his faith. Again, if Jesus says do it, we ought to just do it. I'm not going to argue with God about the way to heaven. If Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, I'm just going to accept it. Again, he's like, okay, you confess your sins and you ask him to forgive you and you ask him to save your soul and he will keep you and seal you and all that kind of stuff. I'm just going to accept it by faith. So that's what this guy was. He wasn't frustrated enough not to come. He wanted to come and get it fixed. And then when Jesus said, hey, rise up, stand in the midst. Everybody's looking. Everybody's got their eyeballs on you, but stretch forth your hand. And he did it. He did whatever God said to do, obviously, and because of his faith, his hand was healed. And then the third thing we see in verse 10, we see the fulfillment. We see the fulfillment. He was frustrated, so he went to church, had faith in God, and God fixed it. In verse 10, we see the fulfillment. He stretched forth his hand, and he did so. He did it. He did what the Bible said. He did what Jesus said. And his hand was restored whole as the other. And so again, when I see the Bible says, hey, if you'll accept Christ as your personal Savior, you'll go to heaven. Again, I know it's not by feeling. It's by faith. But sometimes I feel saved. All right? Singing songs like we sang this morning. I feel saved when that has happened. Preaching a sermon and the Lord telling me what to say. I feel saved. Now, sometimes I don't. But it doesn't change the fact that I am. But we see here the fulfillment of it. This guy, he came because he was frustrated. He put his faith in the Lord and God healed his hand. And so his fulfillment was, yes, it looks just like this one. It works just like this one. He got his need met. He was restored. So there always will be hypocrites and critics in the church. Remember, the Lord never lets the critics dictate or detour his ministry. Jesus knew those guys were there. He knew those thoughts. He's like, oh well, I really don't care what they think. He did care. He wished they would get saved. But he knew their thoughts. And so he did not let the critics dictate what he did. Same thing in this world. Christians get made fun of. Oh, Bible Bob. Oh, super Christian, you're not going to go to the company party because there's going to be alcohol. Oh, super this, super that. I don't care what they say. I'm not going to let critics dictate or detour God's ministry and His fulfillment in my life. So if you need, or if you have a need, you're in the right place and you know the right person, don't worry about what the critics say. Just let Jesus handle the matter. Now let's go to 2 Timothy. This is the second place and we'll get our conclusion right here. Second place, Jesus had the ability to meet whatever kind of need that is. Whatever kind of need you might have, Jesus is able to meet it. And we're going to see several different needs that Jesus met in this portion of Scripture. In verse 1 of chapter 4 in 2 Timothy, it says here, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So again, even in our day and time with people like this, Jesus can still meet needs. We're going to see that. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. That's why people are in churches today saying that if your good outweighs your bad, you'll get to heaven. If you'll give us enough money, we'll pray you into heaven. If you'll do that, no. They're turned to fables. But watch thou in the things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of the ministry. So again, don't stop just because there's critics. Don't stop just because there's people that listen to fables. For I am not now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Obviously, Paul's telling Timothy, I'm about to go to heaven. You take over here. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. So everybody that's done what they were supposed to do while they were here on the earth, they will be rewarded. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me. And this is now where we're going to see some of the needs that Paul was saying that he needed met. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica, the Grecian and Galatia, Titus and to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. Antiochus and sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Taurus and Carpus, thou comest bring with thee, and the books, and especially the parchments. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord renew him, reward him according to his works, of whom thou were also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me. So when I first started preaching and giving the gospel, nobody had my back. But all men forsook me. I pray God that he may not be laid to their charge. Now, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. So even though everybody forsook me, God didn't. And that by me the preaching might be fully known unto the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouths of the lions, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we see here Paul had some needs. First need we're going to look at real quickly is we see here he had some emotional needs. Look at verse 9. He had some emotional needs. So we're going to look at different types of needs that we might have, and God is the meter of them. He had some emotional needs. Verse 9, it says here, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. In other words, Paul felt alone and so forth. And again, the more he talked and the more he explained, it sounded like he got a little bit more confident. Why? Because he said, I'm emotionally strained here. I'm emotionally have some needs emotionally. So come, please, quickly as you can. So he had those needs. And so, obviously, in our Christian life, those of us that are married, praise God for spiritual, faithful spouses. Paul didn't have one of those. He chose not to get married. He said he had wasted enough time that he was going to go in. So there's some times that, in the ministry, my wife and I have been serving together for 34 years now, 35. And there's been times that I was like, it's over. Let's just throw in the towel. God's not here. God's not doing this. This is... And she's like, hey, buck up. God can do anything. And she talked me off the ledge. All right? But then there's been times where she came in. I'm about to kill. I'm about to shoot. No, I'm just kidding. She would never say anything like that. This is over. We're done. And I'm like, oh, babe, God's got us. And that's exactly what Paul was saying. Y'all come as quick as you can, because I'm suffering here. So praise the Lord for spiritual spouses. Here's another one. Praise the Lord for spiritual leaders. Some people, they got here this morning to their Sunday school class and said to their teacher, pray for this week. I mean, we've just been going through it. And this has happened, and this has happened, and this has happened. And they got here just so they could tell their Sunday school teacher, please pray for this. And they felt some emotional help by doing that. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for godly friends. Very, very close-knit church here. Everybody knows everybody. I've heard out of your own mouth that I feel closer to this family than I do to some of my real family. And that's awesome. Iron sharpeneth iron, the Bible says. Just our presence together gives us strength. And so we see here that Paul's emotional need, come quiet, quickly, fast, please get over here. Again, we walk into the building, we see brother so-and-so, we see sister so-and-so, and we make fun of them about talking too much, and they threaten to throw eggs at you, and we encourage each other. All right, we have fellowship. And so praise the Lord for godly friends. So God, and we saw in another verse, even maybe your family forsakes you. I knew it. You'd lost it. You're in a cult. You're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You've turned your back on your family, but you love God. Even if that happens, God will be with you. If your friend says, hey, I know we've been friends forever, but you've went over the edge a little bit. You've gotten too close to God, so I'm not going to hang around you anymore. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So He can help your emotional needs. Let's look at verse 13. Not only did He have emotional needs, He had physical needs. Look at verse 13. It says here, the cloak that I left. In other words, the coat that I had. There's been times where I've been cold as I could be, and I've thought about that coat that I left at your house. Some of you, you have that coat. All right? If it's whatever, up here, there's different types of cold. You have your windbreaker cold. You have your fleece cold. You have your thick, thick Carhartt cold. Amen? And so we're learning that. Down in Florida, even if we had a windbreaker, maybe. All right. But up here, praise the Lord, my wife got me a big old thick Carhartt. Never had one before for my birthday. And now I can't wait till it gets really, really cold. Fleece lined. Oh, it's going to be awesome. But anyway, Paul was like, I need my coat. Please. So we see here he had physical needs that he had. And so praise the Lord. There are certain things that comfort us. Like last night we got home. And guess what I got to sleep in? My bed. All right, the one at Brian's. I think it meets in the middle. It's kind of like a taco. We start out over on the sides, and then we wake up. We're like, and we're down in the hole. All right, but hey, praise the Lord, it was comfortable. And the one at Jason's, the house he's renting has a master bedroom, and they're not even supposed to go in the master bedroom, but they let us sleep in there. So it was like undercover. Ba-dum-tsh. All right, we were sleeping undercover, amen? But I got home last night, I got my bed, all right? And it's king size. How you doing over there? All right, yeah? Miss freeze me to death, Miss burn me up. She can't make up her mind, all right? I need a blanket, turn on the fan. I'm like, whoa, what's going on, all right? That's why I'm sick, it's the weather change, right? But anyway, so praise the Lord for your bed. That's what Paul's saying here. I need my coat. That coat's my favorite coat. I look cool in that coat. All right, it's fly. No, I'm just kidding. But I gotta have that coat. Some of us have our favorite chair. All right? I know dudes like this because I'm a dude. That's my recliner. Every time I come home, guess who's in it? Miss Coffee Cofferton right there. She's always in my chair. All right, that's my chair. The other day she wasn't feeling good, and I sat on the couch and let her keep it. Man, what a husband. But anyway, you have your chair. Sometimes you just sit in that chair. It's comfortable. You got your chair. Some of you have a special blanket. You've had it since you were a baby. Your Winky or your Boo-Boo or your Binky or whatever you called it. I think my grandkids, one set of them calls it their night-night. They got to have their night-night. You have to. It's just comfort. All right, physical needs. Some of you say, man, if I could just get in my hot tub, or if I could just get in that hot shower, everything would be good. And some of you just say, if I could just have 4 ibuprofen, I would be awesome. All right? You have emotional, physical needs. But we see in verse 13, it says here, I got to have my coat. And obviously he got it. Number 3, material needs. Material needs, 13b. It says here, bring my coat. And then it goes down and it says, and I'll also bring with you my books, especially the parchments. And of course, right there, the parchments was the portion of the Bible that he had. And again, as a preacher, I get it. I love my books. Okay, I like to read them. I like to study them. But none of them touch this. All right, this gives me comfort. And that's what Paul's saying. I can remember reading it, and I can remember what it said, but I just want to read it again. And that's another lie of the devil. If you've ever read a verse in there that's got a promise that you grabbed a hold of, you know, 10 years ago, and you need that need met, and you read that same verse, I read that 10 years ago. Whoopee-doo! It still means the same thing. All right? It's still true. And that's what he's saying. Bring my books. I need to study. That gives me comfort. That gives me help. But especially, bring the portion of my Bible. I got to have my Bible. These material needs. Praise the Lord for Bible, our Bible. Praise the Lord for being able to study it. Praise the Lord for opportunities to take it and use it to help others. I love reading it for myself. But I think my favorite thing to do is taking it and showing somebody else how they can get Jesus in their heart. Nothing like it. That's what he's saying. I got to have my Bible. His needs were met. Verse 14, his moral needs. His moral needs. In our world today, we need to be moral. Because TV is not going to be moral. Hollywood is not going to be moral. Our things that we can see on our phones not going to be moral. We have a need to be moral. Verse 14, it says here, Alexander the coppersmith has did me much evil. I got a need met. But it says here, the Lord reward him according to his works. What the devil wants us to do is have that need that we need, that moral need, and get mad at Alexander. He could have said, Alexander's did me much evil, and I plan next Friday to go stab him, or I plan next Friday to go blow his house up, or I plan next Saturday to go do... No, he didn't say that. He said, this guy has done me much evil, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give it to God and let him take care of it. We can't prove ourselves right or prove somebody else wrong. Let God do it. What's the Bible say? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So if somebody's doing you wrong, that need is forgive them. Forget it. Why? Because that root of bitterness will spring up and choke the life out of you. Here they are going on in their life. Seems like they're happy as all get out. I'm miserable and they've done me wrong. Give it to God and say, God, you just reward him. You take care of it. You fix it. So the moral need that he had, he gave it to God. God can do a whole lot better than we can. He gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us. He gave those godly examples to give us advice. He will convict us through the Holy Spirit. So praise the Lord that he met his moral need. Next, we see here his spiritual need. We've got to go quickly. Verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 and 17 says this, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I mean, here I am trying to preach, withstand all this evil that's going on, and everybody turned their back on me. But I pray to God, that it may be laid not to their charge. Just like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So we see here his spiritual need. Whatever you need, God will give it to you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning, and they endure forever. Praise the Lord for songs like, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. God can help us with our spiritual needs. Lastly, his vocational need. His vocational need. Verse 18. Verse 18 says this, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom glory be forever and ever. Our vocational need, obviously, we're supposed to serve the Lord. And if we'll just keep serving the Lord and keep serving the Lord and keep serving the Lord, one day we'll stand before Him and we'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So God can help us with our vocational needs. So Paul needed conquest by the Lord. God showed up and helped him. Praise God for He's greater than anything that we'll ever see in this world. The Bible says He's greater than anything in this world. Praise God for His faithfulness. The Bible says if He began a good work in you, He'll finish it. So in conclusion, I'm going to give you four verses. One is this. These are the verses that you thought I might have been preaching out of when we were talking about need meter. He shall supply all of our need, Philippians 4:19. But God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. So we have promises in the Bible that God, the great need meter, can do it. And He said here, He will do it. Number two, He shall supply all of our wants. And so those of us that might be greedy, we're like, oh, really? Listen to this verse, Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Bible tells us to be content. Don't covet. It also says to learn to be abase and learn to abound. Some of us, like myself, have been on this earth long enough that, you know, I didn't have two pennies to rub against. But I was supposed to learn when I was abased. And there have been times in my life where, you know, when you have 42 kids, that income tax return, that's nice. All right. But you need to learn not to blow it all. Be smart. Learn how to be abased. And so again, he says here, he'll supply all of our wants. Number three, he shall supply all of our desires. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself in the Lord. That's the key. Put God first. Let him have preeminence. Let him have the focus. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So if you're wanting what he's wanting, you'll definitely get it. And the last one, he shall supply all things. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son. I mean, he's already given us his only son. But delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him, along with Jesus, freely give us all things? If God's already given us his son, Jesus, to die on the cross and save us, he'll just give you everything else. Again, that's having granddaughters. It was fun. We were at that fall festival at Jason and Jessica's church, and that's Colton and the two twins. And so they had all these booths, and it was a fundraiser, obviously, for the school. So you had to buy tickets and had to have those tickets to do all the fun stuff. And so I bought a bunch of tickets. And all night long, they'd come running up to me. Papa, can I have a ticket? Sure. Oh. And if I'd have ran out, you know what I'd have done? I went and bought some more. Because all night long, they were running to me. Saying, Papa, I want a ticket. And God's way better than I am. And as happy as I was seeing them go down them slides and throwing those balls and going through that maze and riding that hayride, when God watches us live life, he's like, just ask me. I got another ticket. I want you to be happy. I want you to be blessed. But you know what I'd have had to do? If Colton was shoving Megan and Madison down, and Megan and Madison was crying and pitching a fit, I'd have had to say, can't give you a ticket. Because you're not behaving like you're supposed to. So if we just behave like God wants us to, he gave us his son. Just ask me for another ticket. God can bless us and meet every need. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand. First of all, if you have the need of salvation, you haven't been saved, you don't know for 100% sure you're going to heaven, please come. I'll take the Word of God and show you how you can be 100% sure that you're going to heaven. Secondly, if there's a need, emotional, physical, vocational, any of the spiritual, any need you have, please come and tell God about it, and God can help you with it. Brother Derek.